The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. That's YouTube TV. All proudly brought to you by BetMGM. And I do mean proudly. Still to come this hour, Chrissy Andrews, my mishbucha, in studio, wrapping things up. Tim Lawson hanging out backstage as well, over the Better Life. We're doing some stuff with him, but Chris will join us here. And Rob Pizzola, still to come, who runs the Hammer Network, has his own podcast called Circles Off, Professional Better, does such a great job with that podcast. It has so many great topics, and one of them inspired that panel at Bet Bash, which we'll talk about with Rob. Plus, last year he was on the show, he gave out a contrarian viewpoint on the Detroit Lions. He had had it with the Detroit Lions love, as I recall. We'll see if he has anything to say this year about the NFL. Michael Craig from Right Angle Sports, though, kind enough to stay with us in studio. We talked about Right Angle Sports, and this audience is familiar with how you guys release stuff. You guys are doing an app, correct? What is that all about?
So I think everybody knows we hired Adam Chernoff last year, probably around October. But he started working on an app here, I don't know, a couple months ago. And it's out and it's available on Apple, not on Android yet. It'll be out there soon for that. But right now, it's just a lot of NFL information for the time being. We're hoping to just build upon that, but it's something that people
He just
can,
whipped up an app in two
he
months?
He just whipped up an app on his own. Yeah, great employee, man. He's the man.
Not bright at all, that Adam Chernoff.
No.
Not at all. Would love to have Adam. And Adam comes on the podcast on the Beating the Book side, so I was always thrilled to have him on the Megapod. Okay, sir, let's talk about week zero, week one. You don't have anything yet on those?
I mean, we have stuff, but I don't want to give out a side or anything since we haven't released anything
yet.
You
guys do your thing. How about some season wins?
Actually, part of the package, if you sign up for the early bird, we're doing some season wins there too. But I can give out a few that have moved a little bit, so we won't be releasing them. We like to do stuff that's, I mean, not that nothing moves, but, you know, we want to give something out that's kind of original and hasn't moved yet or hasn't moved a lot yet. So one that somebody else released recently was Purdue under 5.5. It's at 5 now. It's probably lay 110 each way at this point if you shop around. But just a team I think's down this year. They don't get a gimme win. FCS, they have three. Their three non-conference are none of them are gimme wins. So 5 just seems like a lot for them. They do avoid Penn State, but I still play Michigan, Ohio State, but I think Purdue's in for a down year.
Under on Purdue.
Under 5 on Purdue.
All right.
Lay 110, 115 or so, yeah.
Keep them coming. What else you got?
Yeah, one other one, New Mexico State. And this one's juiced kind of high at 6.5. They do play 13 games, but, I mean, can you imagine a New Mexico State team winning that many games? I mean, this is a bottom-of-the-barrel team, and they kind of – I mean, they almost cheated last year to make a bowl game, scheduling Valpo late in the season. They caught Liberty on when Liberty was really down at the end of the year. Just played a really easy schedule. So this year aligned at 6.5, and that is juiced. I believe I checked Chris before I came in here. I believe it was -160, -165. But if you shop around, lay like 150 or so, I think that's a pretty solid bet as well.
One more.
That's all.
I got two.
I got two.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you had
I got
three.
Two. Sorry. Sorry to disappoint.
All right. You still enjoy, I mean, do you, you're more of the college football, college basketball. Those are your two sports. You don't delve in anything else?
No, we have the NFL service too.
Right.
I'm not really involved on that end. A lot of the guys on the team kind of do both. And we've designated guys that are going to be more focused on NFL this year with that service coming out. So, and we've talked about it before, and I've been on here. We want to try as a company to reach more bettors. Obviously, the betting pool has gotten infinitely larger the past few years with legalization, pretty much nationwide at this point. But the NFL service was kind of a move in that direction where it's a more affordable thing. I think it's $680. That's prorated from where we started. So we've done 9 preseason releases so far. We had 2 for the Hall of Fame game, split those. And then we have 7 plays for next weekend so far that we've released. So, yeah, you can get on. You can buy the preseason only, or you can buy the full package for the year. I want to say we guaranteed like 55 sides and totals throughout the season. So,
wow.
So yeah, just a move to try to reach more people and acquire some more customers.
What was your, do you remember a bad year Like, do you remember having a, just a, where you look back and you're like, oh, yeah.
Me personally?
Not you personally. I'm just saying, well, what about you personally? Let's start there.
Yeah, in 2017 was my worst year. And it was a great year from January to October. And then just one of those.
Went to hell.
And at that point, my bankroll was the highest it ever had been. So I was betting the most and just went on a really bad run. There was one day that October, I think I talked about it when I was on Circles Off, but I remember we were like, and I wasn't with Right Angle at the time, but I was like 2-15 or something. And then we had like 7 bets left in the evening. And I'm like, maybe we'll go 5-2 or 6-1. We went 0-7. So it was like a 2-20 day or something like that. This is the worst day I've ever had.
The point of that is it is so relatable to everybody. When it's bad, sometimes it can be so, so bad. And you're like, somebody playing a joke on me? Like, this keeps happening.
I always describe it like when you're on a winning streak, and I'm not the guy that stays up till every game ends. I go to sleep and I wake up in the morning. I look at the scores. When you're on a winning streak, you can't wait to wake up and click and check the scores, check your account balances. When you're losing, I don't even want to get out of bed. It's just
it's brutal.
So, it's miserable.
Since Right Angle is obviously about, you know, getting CLV among besides just winning. Let me just ask you what your opinion is on this whole subject that we've talked about for years about closing line value. Because Chris Bruno and I were just talking about this yesterday, which is take tennis for now these days. It doesn't matter, dude, if you're beating it by 20 cents, 40 cents, 30 cents. It doesn't seem to correlate to anything in terms of your win-loss record.
Right.
What is your ultimate stance? Because and then the big debate always, just to sort of couch it for folks who are unfamiliar, just contextually, it's, you know, if you read Elihu's Pinnacle newsletter, which he wrote as Simon Noble years ago, it's, you know, the general thing that the higher the rate at which you, you know, get closing line value, the better off, the more of a predictor, you know, you can be thought of as a winning bettor moving forward, right? The higher the rate that you get closing line value, the better off you'll be moving forward. That's sort of how a bettor ought to be profiled. The converse is true as well. Whereas Chrissy Andrews, right, who's going to come on later on the show, is at the South Point. His whole thing is, well, yeah, Pinnacle loves talking about Pinnacle in that way. I'm paraphrasing. But he said, I just want to know, did you win or did you lose? That's how I grade him. I'm curious where you stand on all that.
I'm a big believer in closing line value, I think.
Yeah.
I think especially, and it depends on the market. I mean, if you're betting props, if that's how you're coming up. But if you're doing college basketball totals, college football, NFL, any of the major sports, if you're not consistently seeing closing line value, I just don't think you're on the right track to long-term success.
Yeah.
And, I mean at this point, I mean, when you get to a certain level.
Grab that, we'll just make it up.
A really high level.
Yeah.
I mean, there's guys that don't want CLV. They want to bet and not have the line move because, like you say, the books are profiling you based on how much CLV you're getting. So it's a debate. I honestly I don't know how you could say I don't care if I beat the market. I don't care if it moves against. I don't know how you could say that.
You're right. When you put it that way, yeah, it's like if you're not doing any. I always say this with numbers. If you're a bettor, because bettors fall on a massive spectrum too, right? Numbers complete, like the Rufuses of the world who are completely numbers dogma on one side, the sort of smoke and mirrors on the other, and everybody in between. And I always like to say, if you're not doing anything based in numbers, you're probably doing this wrong, right? There's got to be some element of that. Same thing with what you're sort of saying with closing line value, which is you can't say the opposite, right? If it doesn't matter to you at all, then you're probably doing this wrong.
I agree. And like I said, if you're in the prop market or if you're in a really small market where there's not really a market maker for anybody to copy. So when you're at these retail shops, the DraftKings, the FanDuels, of the MGMs of the world, they might move based on action, but there's not a market maker, a Chris or a Pinnacle that they're copying really. So I think in that case, like if you're not seeing tons of closing line value, that's fine. But when you get into the bigger markets, I don't even think there's an argument that.
Yeah.
Oh, I never get any closing line value, but I'm going to be a long-term winner. Yeah. It just doesn't add up.
Yeah, just to clarify, I don't think Chrissy scoffs at it completely, but
yeah,
I think
right.
just takes a more old school, a little more nuanced approach to it. He doesn't believe in it sacredly like that. So finally, Bet Bash, just getting started today. What are you attending? Everything?
I'm planning on attending everything.
Hall of Fame too.
Yes. Yeah, I just pick up some clothes to, for the dress code there.
Where does Michael Craig buy his clothes from?
I did a Men's Warehouse trip the other day. I had to get a sport coat, and I didn't go tuxedo or anything, but yeah, I'll dress up and I'll wear a tie, which is very rare for me.
He's not going to turn you away at the door if you're not wearing black tie.
I hope not, but yeah. I think the scavenger hunt is the one where.
What's the scavenger hunt?
I don't really know. I think you show up and they give you instructions and you got to run around town and do a bunch of tasks.
Oh,
I assume maybe get your picture here or there. I think the ultimate goal is like you place a bet somewhere, but you have to figure out what that bet is that you're supposed to place.
There's a prize.
That's how I understood
it. There's a prize involved,
I guess it's like 20 grand in cash prizes.
Okay.
So,
all right.
I mean, if a lot of people don't show up, I'm like, man, I should probably go to that if there's 20 grand in prizes.
Are you doing the speed dating thing? You doing that? Or you're not?
Yeah, I'll do the speed dating.
Does that just come back to sharing of accounts? Like, I can give you account here, I can give you account there. What is
that? I think with that, I think when you show up to that, it just this is my take on it. I think you're better off listening and letting what can I do for you and.
Yeah.
Is there any way we can do anything here together rather than I do this? What can you do for me?
It's a great idea.
I think you're better off asking, is there anything I can do to help you? And what do you do? And if you make, I think Spanky said it a bunch of times, but if you can make one connection that's worthwhile, and that's always been my goal at MIT.
Yeah.
You talked about MIT. Every time I went to MIT, I met at least one person that still am friends with or do business
bro,
with.
Bro, we all met back there. Jason Weingarten got a whole job from last year's Bet Bash. Just be sober for the panel. That's all I ask of you. And I'll see you at the Legacy Club on Thursday.
Awesome.
Michael Craig from Right Angle Sports. Rob Bazzola from the Hammer Network. Next, Numbers Game Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event, date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. For VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up today for only $19 for your first month at VSiN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Eric Biggio from Will Hill over there. He says, love the immaculate grid as well. I can hang with baseball. Happy to pull out Tim Crabtree for a 0.04%er today. Thought I could hang with the hockey version as well. I cannot. Props to the people who score well with pucks as it has much fewer player combos. I would be thrilled, Wyatt, if I got one right in hockey in the grid.
That's the goal of the day for me.
Yeah. See, Bazzola probably get all of them. We'll talk to Rob momentarily. Chris Heath, strange to think that I've been following you, Drew, and Rob, and others for over 10 years, and this is only Bet Bash 3. I remember reading Rob Pozzola's content that included his dad's NFL leans. I have to ask Rob about that momentarily. Las Vegas says, yo, why can't I get the Raz Picks app, the Right Angle Sports app? I may be old and have an Android, but I like to make money too. LOL. Get on the Android, he says. And then Ryan Hyatt, great conversations today on VSiN with Gil and friends. Can we send $20 to Pueblo, Colorado for a typewritten transcript of today's show? Transcripts were always in Pueblo, Colorado. The tweets were a portent of our next guest, a portent of what's to come. Rob Bazzola, and I want to get all this right because he's into so many different things. Rob Bazzola, not only a pro sports bettor, but of course, co-founder and CEO of the Hammer HQ, the Hammer Podcast Network, co-owner of BetStamp, which grades, if I'm not mistaken, all of people's bets, keeps track of all people's bets, co-host of his own podcast, Circles Off, which he does with his co-host, Johnny, into so many things, and he's kind enough at Bet Bash 3 to come on down to the South Point and hang with us for a few segments, for a couple segments. This is Rob Bazzola. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. Still stuck on Eastern time, so a little bit challenging for the mornings. First flight in yesterday. Tried to ride it out as late as I could last night to just get acclimated, but happy to be here. It's been actually a while since I've been in Vegas, so I'm looking forward to this week.
Tell people what you said about what you told Michael before you came in here.
I know Mike Craig personally, so I don't want it to come across like I'm a bad guy or anything, but I said basically thanks for intentionally bombing out there in the previous segment. I always tell him, I saw him this morning. I was like, you go see a concert, a lot of times the headliner will actually purposely, intentionally book a bad opener.
Sure.
Make them look great when they take the stage, and I kind of compared it to that.
What about this tweet that we got? You said you used to put out a newsletter with your dad's leans. Is that true?
So I worked for The Score many years ago.
With Bomani, right?
I worked with Bomani for a little bit. I produced him for a very short period of time. There was some overlap there. But at that time, I was putting out a long-form NFL picks piece every single week. At that time, I would call myself a sophisticated square at that time. Wasn't really a pro bettor yet, but I was on the verge. I kind of knew what it took to win. I was betting at a lot of different books, line shopping. I kind of got into it at that point. But it came up randomly that one of the weekly readers of that ran into my dad at a racetrack, Woodbine Racetrack. And they're like, oh, I met your dad. He's got some great NFL opinions. You should try to work him in. I said, you know what? I'll work it in. So yeah. I would ask him every week, and I don't know how well he did, but I found a way to work him into that. That was an extremely long form NFL content piece. I'm like talking 15, 20,000 words a week, which took me a long, long time to write.
I want to say something to you in person here that I've said to others. And I like to think that I don't throw this around willy-nilly. Your podcast is the best. It is awesome. I want to get back to one about Bomani too, because you mentioned something on one of the shows that I don't know if it was on the podcast that you mentioned. I think it was, but just some of the topics you've done over 100 episodes now of Circles Off, part of the Hammer Network. And by the way, the network is everything that you imagined it would be. Are you thrilled with it?
I'm thrilled with it, but it's not everything I imagined it would be.
Oh,
the vision when we first started was very different, which candidly was trying to combine recreational bettors and sharps and create content that was compelling for everyone.
Yeah.
It has been evolved into being more niche again and caters more towards the sharp audience, but we're having a lot of success doing that. The podcast Circles Off specifically is growing. I watched an episode of Hit the Books with Joey Kanish and Brad Powers yesterday that had a ton of concurrent live viewers. So yeah. I'm very happy with the way it's going, but it's gotten to a place where we're just rolling with it now, very different from what the original vision was.
It is. That's such an honest answer. It's so, you know, again, having done years of just a podcast and now doing this 5 days a week, you do have to, I don't know if have to is the right word, but you find that the format and the meter of them creates an animal that you didn't know would happen. So back in the day, I could do an hour and 45 minutes with Dr. Bob's process on college football. You can't do that in this format. So you become something, not necessarily bad. You still like what you're doing. It's just different. The format, the context matters.
100%. I mean, I'm a very data-driven, analytical person. And for me, I have very much an adapt or die mentality, right? You can have a vision for something. If it's not working, then why continue to run it out? You have to adapt. I mean, Circles Off, the podcast I do, the first 10 episodes that we did, it was a pure educational podcast. Yeah. It was, here's a topic. We're going to talk about it for half an hour. We're going to move to another topic. Okay, we get 10 episodes in. We're like, well, we're going to run out of topics very quickly. Like, we need to pivot here type of thing. So there, you know, I'm a meticulous planner. I like to plan things, but you get to a point where it's just like, okay, just let's go with the flow. Let's figure out where we're going to take this now. And it's kind of went that way. But
yeah, it's you know, I love the Scott Van Pelt story where he says he filled in one day on Sports Talk Radio. He says he spewed out everything he wanted to talk about in the first segment. And he had seven segments of it. He goes, what do we do now? Right. So it didn't, that format was so foreign to him. And the podcast format is just beautiful. We couldn't ask for a better host than you. Some of the topics, I'm just going to read through some of the latest ones. I'm just plugging your betting leaks, doing stuff with a Hall of Fame bookmaker. So, you know, questions from the listeners. So many, I'm not even doing it justice. Jeff Ma joins for one.
Yep.
Cracking the tennis betting code, takes from a poker pro. On. I want to focus on a couple things, and this will sort of, you know, dovetail into Bet Bash. One of the panels on Bet Bash is about gambling Twitter. Mm-hmm. As I understand, you did an episode on this. That was the inspiration for this panel.
Yep.
You ended up, and I'm curious because I think I know the answer, but I wanted to ask you this. Initially, you were going to be the moderator. Did you then think to yourself, but wait a minute, if I'm the moderator, I can't really give all my opinion. I'd like to be a panelist.
That was part of it. So Matt Metcalf reached out to me. He said, I listened to your Gambling Twitter is Toxic episode, which, by the way, was just a complete off-the-cuff.
Off-the-cuff.
You know, meticulous planner that I am. Me and Johnny, he's complete opposite of me. He just likes to show up, do the show. We have that's kind of why the format works. But we had planned for something completely different than what that episode evolved into. And I think that's why it was so well received, because it was very natural and, you know, wasn't pre-planned or anything like that. But Matt Metcalf reached out to me and said, yeah, this was great. I'd love for you to moderate a panel on this. And part of it is, and just being like brutally honest, I'm very passionate about the topic. So by asking the questions, I didn't think I would be able to relay my opinion on the situation. But on top of that, circles off, as much as we've seen a lot of progress on the show, and again, brutally honest person, it's the only piece of content that I do that actually feels like work, because there's a lot of planning that goes into it. If I'm doing something on our Forward Progress channel where I'm talking NFL games for the week, like, I live and breathe NFL. That just comes naturally to me. You turn on a camera, I could talk about it for hours. Whereas Circles Off is more of like, I really want to get the best out of our guest. I really want to approach this topic in a way where we're going to hit all these points. And I didn't want to come to Bet Bash and be working, essentially. I told Matt, like, I'm going to be working on this, making sure I'm asking the right questions. And that wasn't of interest to me.
It's what I love about you, because you do this lovingly. You know, with our panel that I'm doing, yours is Gambling Twitter. I'm doing something on Traders. And I keep calling Matt Metcalf, and I'm like, hey, I hope you don't mind, but, like, I really want to get this perfect, you know? And so I really appreciate anybody who cares as much as you do. I appreciate it. I want to get into this after the break. And it's going to come off. And I also, by the way, last year, one of the things you talked about, I don't know if you remember this, everybody loved the Detroit Lions last year, and you were contrary to that. If you have any of those, I'd like to hear what one of those might be after the break. But what I really want to get into, at the risk of sounding corny on this, because one of the things, your relationship with Bomani, when we say Bomani, Bomani Jones, who many people know from ESPN, now he has an HBO show, you were able to bridge, getting, and this sort of also dovetails nicely with the whole gambling Twitter side of things, you were able to, in a civil way, bridge a gap between a mainstream media guy's lack of understanding of a gambling topic versus those who just want to pile on and murder him for it. Right. So I want to get into that. Rob Bazzola from all those things, Hammer Network, Bet Stamp as well. The name of this podcast, once again, Circles Off. I cannot recommend it highly enough. Bet Bash 3, everybody rolling through. More Bazzola next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Power ratings, picks, previews, predictions, pro, as in become a VSiN Pro subscriber, getting all access pass to our betting tools, betting splits, and the 2023 college football and NFL betting guides. Both the college football guide and our NFL betting guide will have you ready to turn a profit on the gridiron this year. And the only way to get the guides and everything we have to offer is to become a VSiN Pro subscriber, and you can do exactly that at VSiN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. Again, the week of Bet Bash, so all this week, folks kind enough to roll through the studio and hang for a couple segments. That's Spanky's Bet Bash, Bet Bash 3. Couldn't be more honored to have folks come down to the South Point do so. Rob Bazzola from the Hammer Network and, of course, Circles Off Podcast, kind enough to hang with us here at the South Point. I do want to get, Rob, to one of your football thoughts, like you did last year, where you were contrarian on the Lions to what most people were all about the Lions last year, and you were like, hey, hold up, everybody. And that manifested for most of the year until they... Till they turn later. Before we get to that, though, I want to talk about this Bomani story, because it is related to your panel, or Sam Panayotovich's panel that he's moderating, that you inspired with the Circles Off episode about gambling Twitter at Bet Bash. But it's a great case study, and it has to do with Bomani Jones, gentleman you used to work with, and it has to do with his lack of understanding, as great as he is, as intelligent as he is with sports betting and society in general and all his takes, not a sports bettor.
Yep.
And so it's forgivable that he doesn't know something, and pick it up from there and how you bridge that gap.
Yeah, absolutely. So I have a longer relationship with him, having worked with him about a decade ago and producing some of his shows. And we remain in contact, but don't talk all that frequently. But he tweeted in the NBA Finals or in the NBA playoffs something about how Vegas hasn't caught up to the Miami Heat or something along those lines. I don't remember exactly what it was, but I read the tweet, and as a bettor, I immediately thought to myself, well, obviously he doesn't know what he's saying here.
Yeah.
And I had already seen a couple comments instantaneously come in from members of gambling Twitter, which were kind of ragging on him. And at that point, I just decided, you know what, I'm going to DM him, and I'm going to let him know why this tweet doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Real quick, if it was someone you didn't have a relationship, would you have been one of the people ragging on him?
Probably even 2 or 3 years ago, yes. Mm-hmm. I've made a conscious effort to not do that anymore because I just don't think that it contributes to a healthy
right.
environment. I think it's extremely toxic. But he was very receptive and, you know, explained more. And I sent him actually a Circles Off episode that we did previously on how the betting market works. And it's actually bettors who shape the market rather than, you know, a book just posting the line and having access to all this information. And he was like, this is great. Appreciate you sending it to me. But it took 30 seconds of my day to explain to him why he was wrong. And he was very willing and receptive to that feedback.
I love that he was. That was the key to the whole thing, right? That he was humble enough to, hey, I know you. I know you know more about this than I do. Tell me more.
And honestly, that's, you could say whatever you want about Bomani Jones. There's a lot of people that don't like him.
Right.
And I grew up with him. You know, I feel like he influenced me a lot when I was younger. So I have a personal relationship with him where I would go to bat for the guy. But I think that tells you a lot about his character, generally speaking, because I've gone down that path with other people before, and maybe they're not as receptive. And they're like, no, this is wrong, or I read this somewhere else. And it's very hard to break through with certain people. But ultimately, it's just in my nature now to try to educate more. I don't know why. I don't think this affects my bottom line in any way.
And I said it last time. At the risk of sounding corny, you know, it's like I feel like I'm Woody Allen staring into the camera going, if only life were like this, right? If only we had that kind of civility. And I don't know what it is. We've said this many times, and we were just talking off air about it. Trust us, like on gambling Twitter, it doesn't affect our lives. It doesn't affect where we go on vacation. It doesn't affect who we hang out with. It doesn't affect where we're going after the show. It doesn't affect any of that stuff. But ultimately, it does create a less enjoyable place. And so is that, like, if I were to distill, and I don't want to give away your panel at Bet Bash, but if I were to distill it to one point, is that maybe the point of it where you're just like, this just becomes less enjoyable because of this?
I would say certainly that's my main perspective. I've lived through this. I've been on gambling Twitter since 2010 when I was a pure recreational bettor, just losing money to where I am now. And I've seen the entire evolution of it. And there's always been trolls and people will put other people down. But it felt definitely like even 5, 6, 7 years ago, it was more of a community of people trying to help one another. Whereas now it's just this toxic environment. And the challenge for me is I don't understand the motivations of a lot of the individuals who want to put other people down. They act like by educating someone in the space on how a betting market works that like, oh, you're going to ruin my edge or whatever. And I just don't think that that's a viable excuse for ruining someone else's day or their week because you're essentially you want to be part of the boys club or whatever. So I think that's my main perspective. Sports should be about fans coming together, bettors coming together. I know you're competing against one another, but we have common goals. Yeah. We should be really able to relate to one another a little bit more.
I don't know. I mean, this doesn't have to do with gambling Twitter. This has to do with just bettors in general. I often say, I don't know what it is about the strain of DNA. By nature of the fact that we're trying to predict outcomes of events, we have a strain of DNA that is tailored to that. But what is it about that strain that in some people is also coupled with, and while I want to show you that I'm right, I must also bring that person down and tell you what a terrible idiot he is.
But like,
the fascinating thing.
Like, if we look at the way gambling Twitter is structured now, right? You have people that want to be these gatekeepers for Twitter, right? It's like I get to choose who is a real bettor and who's not. When you have the gatekeepers who are going to put guys like Spanky down, or Plus EV Analytics, who's very because of his bet sizing or whatever,
we'll be here tomorrow.
Then there's a real problem there because now you're taking real bettors, people who actually win. Like the gate, you're not gatekeeping anything. The gate is closed permanently. You're just doing that for the sake of your own ego. I don't know the motivations necessarily, but that to me is a huge fundamental issue.
All right. One of the panels at Bet Bash. Again, Mitch Moss is going to do a college football panel. I'll do traders on Friday at Bet Bash. What about a football play of the, I won't call it play of the year because then that sounds, that's not what I mean, but you're only on this show here in studio once a year. Last year you were just, let's tamp down the Detroit Lions love.
Yes.
What's your similar take this year?
So I do want to say that last year as well, you asked me for a team that I was higher on than market.
Okay.
And I said the Philadelphia Eagles. People never remember that.
I don't remember that
because
one.
They found the VEASAN clip on Twitter of the Detroit Lions, and they elevated that. But I was very high on the Eagles. They were
sorry about that, Rob. No, we apologize.
It's okay, but this is kind of this will come into the conversation at the Bet Bash panel on Friday. I'll give you a team that I'm high on and a team that I'm low on.
Okay,
I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan. I have to put it out there so people don't think I'm just being a homer. I'm very high on the Cowboys headed into this year relative to market. 12-5 a year ago with all those Dak Prescott interceptions, Cooper Rush playing a bunch of games. People are very concerned about the Mike McCarthy comments in preseason about defense was tired a lot last year. We're going to run the ball more. I actually don't think that's true. If you actually look at Mike McCarthy with the Green Bay Packers when he was coaching them, they're actually a very high early down pass rate team. I think that they're going to slow the tempo a lot more. I don't think that they're going to become a huge running team right away. So I think people are putting a little too much stock into that. But I think the Cowboys on the over, their win total right now, pretty much across market, is a solid bet.
You and Aaron Schatz, the founder of Football Outsiders, who now is working at the FTN Network, he has them as their highest season win total.
There you go.
Yeah. So a little simpatico there with him.
Yeah. I mean, I'd love for the Cowboys. I picked the Cowboys as my team because I grew up in the early 90s when they were the best team in the league, and I've suffered for years. A team that I don't like going into the year, not that I don't like, I think that the New York Jets are overrated in market. I don't think that they have a super low floor because even if Aaron Rodgers is washed, which there's a possibility that he is, he's not a turnover machine or anything like that. They should be able to play good enough defense to keep them in games, but I don't actually see as much upside in market. And this kind of in that division as well, I'm very high on Miami. I just wouldn't play the season win total over because you have the Tua injury concerns,
sure, obviously.
But overall, I actually like Miami better than the New York Jets this year. And I think market is reversed on that.
Yeah, it is. And I've said throughout this offseason, it feels like Miami is kind of the overlooked team. That Jets start to the season, that schedule at the beginning is brutality.
Yep.
How much of that affects it? Like, because that it's one of these things where you can't really quantify the fall off a cliff factor of that potentially.
Yeah, for sure. You have a veteran quarterback in Aaron Rodgers, right? I said, you know, there are some people who are low on the Jets that think it could be catastrophic year for them. I just don't see that. You have a quarterback of that caliber, even if he struggles, again, doesn't turn the ball over a lot. Defense is volatile year to year. I love the Jets defense, but who knows what the Jets defense is going to be this year. We've seen it time and time again in the NFL. Defense goes from being a top unit to all of a sudden middle in the pack the next season. Personnel doesn't change. Nothing changes. It just happens. But that early season stretch is definitely tough, and there's a lot of pressure mounting on that team going into this year. It could be a spiraling effect if they get off to a poor start, and we've seen that happen with other teams in the past.
In there, such a gem, too. That's really the challenge of NFL betting from year to year is player to player, you can't really count on performance being the same, and unit to unit, the same personnel, you can't count on it. It makes this such a tough thing to do.
Coaching staffs changes, and there's all sorts of stuff to add into the mix.
Rob Pizzola, everybody, at Rob, P-I-Z-Z-O-L-A, on Twitter. Hammer Network and the name of the podcast again, Circles Off. Rob, a pleasure, man. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Gil.
Rob Pizzola coming back with my mishpucha, Chrissy Andrews, next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM resorts, properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log in today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and game GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It's Gil Alexander, Wyatt Tomczyk, in for Kelly Bidlin. By the way, Rob is right. We elevated the Detroit Lions take. I think the Lions ended up with a season win total over last year when all was said and done. And his real great take was on the Eagles, and we didn't elevate it, so no one remembers that he said that. So,
what's the old saying? Whenever I do good, no one remembers. Whenever I do bad, no one forgets.
Huh. That's a very good statement right there. Very, very apropos in this case. Ladies and gentlemen, he is the man who runs the South Point Sportsbook directly behind us here on the tip of the strip. His name is Chrissy Andrews. We kick it with Chrissy.
Can I kick it?
Oh, he picked this music himself.
I prefer the Led Zeppelin.
We didn't clear it. That was the problem. You know, they don't clear stuff with people. It's like, Gil, can we put this picture of you up here where you look like you have to go to use the restroom? No one asked me if I was okay with it. They just went with it. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Speaking of that, they had one picture of me that they had on the billboards all over town. It's when I was getting my bone marrow transplant. I said, I look like a cancer patient, which I was
which
at the time.
Which you kind of were, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I hope I don't look like that anymore.
No, you look great. You look great. By the way, I don't know if you like talking about this, but there was a period there a few years back where we were justifiably super worried about you, and you look wonderful.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. And I remember you were saying at the time, you're like, if I can just get this, you're on your way to getting all those years.
I feel good. They said I should have a normal lifespan. I'm 67. What's a normal lifespan? 68? You know, I don't know.
Yeah, we'll get
88?
We'll get
you
past
who knows?
There.
Somewhere in between.
But, yeah. Well, there's a Hebrew expression. They say when you have a birthday, they say till 120. Which most people then go, that's a little too long.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to sign up for
that. That's a little too long.
In Greek, we say, nata katostisis, may you live to be 100.
Oh, there you go. Well, I'll settle for 100.
I'd settle for 100.
All right, so on your way to 100, each and every year, you still put out your college football plays of the year. And they came out
Games of the year.
Games of the year. Games not plays of the year, I'm sorry. Yeah, games of the year. Yeah. Say I blew that. It came out this past Friday, and things are a-moving.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that first 2 hours, I'd say, they were moving pretty good. You know, settled down kind of since then.
How deep were the lines here? Pretty deep?
No, not at all.
Really?
And, you know, I'm looking, we had a couple games, I'd say moved 2 points, but I moved them 2 points, you know, just because I kind of, you know, depending on who bet me and what the number was and something like that. And I have to take a mea culpa for last year. I don't think I did a very good job following the transfer portal and a lot of other things. And, you know, I talked about it this year. I'm not sure if I talked about it on your show. I didn't. I was on another show. I said, you know, all through the years, I've always, I'd like to bet against first year coaches, you know. Boy, last year that didn't come to fruition. You know, Spike Dykes went all the way to the championship game. And there's a couple other examples I can't think of. But so I think I hate to go off just like 1 year, but has the game changed? You know, maybe it has, like with the transfer portal and NIL, and, you know, we see all the changes going on in the conferences. Maybe things have changed a little bit, but we'll have to wait and see.
Notre Dame started slow, but caught fire with the first-year coach last year. Did which are the ones that moved the most, or either by your hand or by?
No, well, these all got bet and by sharp guys. You know, I had Pitt playing Cincinnati, open at 7, got bet up to 9. I got talked into the lower number there, so I moved that one 2 points.
Who are you throwing under the bus? Who talked
nobody,
you in?
Nobody.
Does it rhyme with Benny Beolio?
No? How do you pronounce that last name again?
Beolio.
I've only known him 45 years. I still can't pronounce his name. But he helped me tremendously.
I know he did.
Tennessee over Florida.
Yeah.
That was another one. I opened 7. I am down on Florida this year. They laid me the 7. I went straight to 8 with that. Clemson and Florida State. I'm very high on Florida State, which I think I've said on the show.
A lot of people are, yeah.
I opened Clemson 1. We got bet up to 2.5.
On Clemson.
On Clemson, yes. We got
Florida State
has
not won there since, you know, forever.
Yeah, well, I think there's a lot of changes going on.
I want to say 2014 or something like that. Yeah.
Ohio State against Notre Dame opened 6.5, went to 7.5.
Threw the seven on that. Six and a half to seven.
You know, I'm not so sure, but I think Ohio State's like a notch down. And I was on a different podcast. I said there's 129 teams in NCAA football that would love to have the problems that Ohio State has, mm-hmm. you know. But I do think they're down a little, just a notch from where they were the last couple of years. A couple others. Texas opened 6 over Oklahoma. I knew Paul Stone was very high on Texas.
You saw him coming.
I saw him. He didn't bet me. Somebody else followed because he hasn't been in town. I think he's coming in town.
Or Bet Bash, I think, probably.
Tomorrow or something. Yeah. Anyway, but somebody laid me that. I went from 6 to 7. I still have my questions about Texas, you know.
Yeah.
And like I joke every year, it's my annual rite of summer to overrate Oklahoma. So
everybody.
We got that every year.
How many years in a row have I gone, if somebody's high on Oklahoma, like, are we going to do this again?
Yeah. I tried not to do it this year. I was conscious of it, but evidently, maybe I did. We'll see it, you know. Anyway, nothing really was huge move. Kansas State opened 1.5 over Texas Tech. I'm not a pick. UNLV, I opened 2 over Nevada. Not UNR. Nevada, we're down to 1.
Wyatt called him UNR?
Everybody in Las Vegas does. And Wyatt was wearing his UNLV shirt today.
It's Nevada.
It's the proper way of saying it.
It's Nevada. You're lucky we don't call you guys Nevada Southern, which is what it was at first.
What color is the Fremont Cannon right now?
I forget.
It's a beautiful, beautiful glaze red.
What bothers you more, when people call Nevada UNR or when people mispronounce Nevada as Nevada?
Oh, Nevada. Way worse.
That's the word. Way worse. He did that to me. I was like a year in. He's like, you know, you live here now. Maybe you should pronounce it Nevada.
Yeah, Nevada.
It's what brings us all together.
Yeah. Those were the ones or more?
I got more. Okay. Ohio State opened 9 over Wisconsin. I'm up to 10. Utah opened 4 over Oregon. I'm down to 3. I think Utah's going to be really good this year. Notre Dame opened 13.5 against Pitt. I'm down to 12. That's, you know, I kind of agree with that move. I think that's going to be a tough game.
Sensing a theme on Notre Dame here.
Yeah. Here's one more. Yeah. I opened Clemson 6 over Notre Dame. I'm up to 7.
Yeah.
I think Notre Dame's going to be good this year. I'm terrible with the names. What's the kid from Wake Forest that's going to play quarterback for Notre Dame this year?
Oh, Sam Hartman.
Hartman. Yeah. I think, you know, they're going
to
be good.
So, as you like to say with these, though, your opinion is good for one bet.
Yeah.
One bet. That's it. The first bet.
Yeah.
And then you move accordingly.
Yeah.
The difference between bookmaking and odds making and bookmaking right there.
Yeah. You know, I post the number that I think is correct, not who I think they're going to bet. I'm trying to get even money on both sides. And that's the old way of thinking. You know, but I am willing to take a bet and see, you know, my opinion. Mm. Over the years, been okay. You know, last year, like I said, wasn't so good. But I went back and checked. Had a couple good years, a couple not so good years, you know, but usually I'm okay.
You said something that triggered something. Joe Pita and I were talking about this week because it had to do with my Bet Bash panel and stuff. Ultimately, and I know the simple answer to this question is, did we win or lose money? But ultimately, how do you judge yourself?
Well, I do judge it on did we win or lose money, for sure. And, you know, when I was out of the business for a couple years doing some financial stuff and, you know, some other things, I missed that. It's like you get a test pretty much every day. How did I do? And, of course, we have plenty of losers over there, too. So some days you get an F. Mm-hmm. A lot of days you get an A. Sometimes a B, sometimes a C, you know, whatever. But I miss that. And I like to have that grade every day. But also, did you make a good number? Because sometimes crazy things happen.
The process matters.
The process matters. And, you know, I mean, I've had this discussion when I first started here. We actually got off to a pretty rough year with baseball. This was 2016. And you know, Michael Gaughan pulls me. He says, listen, if a guy gives up a home run in the ninth, it's not your fault. Just do what you can.
But you would be the first to say that's the outlier, right? Most corporate environments, they only care about the result, not the process.
I have friends of mine in the business, and I am so lucky to be working for Michael Gaughan. And a lot of my career, I worked for the Cal Neva. They were the same way. And, of course, Jackie Gaughan is going into the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. He recommended me to Warren Nelson. They were best friends. So Warren and Jackie kind of cut from the same cloth. And I worked for Warren, and he did the same thing. And just, you know,
all right,
make sure you're doing everything right, and things will fall into place.
Chrissy, Tim Lawson from The Better Life wants to film us here after the show. We're honored. So
very
let's hang
so,
out.
Yeah.
And we'll hang out with Timmy here for a while. We've done all we can do. Thank you, Chris. I always appreciate the
my pleasure.
The on-air.
My pleasure.
Lombardi Line, next. Talking preseason football, all different kinds of sports. That's next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Enjoy.